Now taking a look at other news here this morning on KJN, a series of public meetings is set for a citizens group looking at Iowa's highway system. The Governor's Transportation 2020 Citizens Advisory Commission was established this year to help the State Transportation Department review current and projected funding levels of the state's road use tax fund to meet construction and maintenance needs for local and state government. The commission will gather public input on current road conditions and options to address funding shortfalls during 7 meetings in August and September. Those will be in Bettendorf, Mason City, Des Moines, Storm Lake, Council Bluffs, Waterloo, and Mount Pleasant. If Iowa wants to reform its education system, educators and officials say one key step will be to assert state control over local school districts. The Iowa Department of Education oversees the state's 351 school districts, but most power remains with local school officials. Education Department Director Jason Glass tells the Associated Press that some of those practices must change if the state is serious about reversing what some see as a lengthy slide in the quality of its schools. Glass joined with more than 1,000 others at a 2-day education summit this week, at which speakers repeatedly argued that Iowa has lost its position as a national leader in education. Glass said many districts haven't toughened standards because they don't appreciate the changing demands of the workplace. Iowa Democratic legislative leaders are pushing for a special session to override Republican Governor Terry Branstad's veto of language in a bill that would have prohibited closure of 36 unemployment offices. Branstad, in a veto letter this week, says the legislation would have prevented Iowa Workforce Development from putting together a more efficient system for helping the unemployed. Democratic leaders on Friday issued a formal letter to their colleagues calling for a special session. Democrats need to gather a required 2/3 support in both the House and Senate to call a special session. Republicans control the House 60-40, and Democrats hold a slim majority in the Senate, 26-24. A telephone call to the governor's office seeking comment Friday afternoon was not immediately returned. Tyson Foods Incorporated is moving ahead with a $48 million renovation at one of its plants in Council Bluffs. The Springville, Arkansas-based company says Friday it will convert its cooked meats plant into a dry sausage and pepperoni operation. The project includes new equipment and a 60,000-square-foot addition. The company says operations will be temporarily suspended while the project is underway. Officials plan to scale back production in late September and close the plant in October. The pepperoni operation is expected to begin in spring of 2012. Officials say 135 of the plant's 170 employees will be temporarily laid off, while the remainder will help during the project. Tyson's other plant in Council Bluffs, which produces case-ready beef and pork, will not be affected. There's a report out of the Adams County Sheriff's Office of a stolen checks charge in forgery at 10:45 a.m. on Friday. Brandon Manwiller of Corning was arrested on forgery charges. He stole 3 checks and forged the owner's name and cashed them at Hy-Vee in Corning, and he was arrested and taken to the Adams County Jail. Also, a report from the Montgomery County Communications Center received a report of a single vehicle personal injury accident yesterday afternoon at around 3:43. That occurred at U.S. Highway 34 and L Avenue. Upon deputies' arrival and investigation into the accident, it was determined that a 2001 Chevy Suburban owned by Lupita Cisneros of Rolette, Texas, was being operated by 75-year-old Keith Wayne Roan of Rockwall, Texas, pulling a 1995 Viking travel trailer. It was traveling eastbound on Highway 34. Roan states that he had fallen asleep at the wheel, traveled across the westbound lane of traffic, and entered into the north ditch. The 2001 Chevy Suburban traveled into the ditch approximately 400 feet before striking the ditch embankment of L Avenue and came to rest. 2 minor children in the vehicle were transported to Montgomery County Memorial Hospital by Red Oak Rescue for treatment of minor injuries. The 2001 Chevy Suburban is considered to be a total loss, and the travel trailer had an estimated $500 damage. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office was assisted by Red Oak Rescue and the Iowa State Patrol. And also a report from the Fremont County Sheriff's Office at around 4:35 on Thursday afternoon. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office was notified by Shenandoah Police Department of a 1-vehicle rollover accident 2 miles north of 120th Street on Highway 59. Shenandoah Police Department sent Essex Fire and Rescue to the scene and Essex Police Chief Mike Anderson and Page County Deputy Joel Smith also responded and assisted with traffic control. Upon arrival, they found the subject on the side of Highway 59 having been assisted by a passing motorist. The driver of the vehicle, Dung Thai Nguyen, was taken to Shenandoah Memorial Hospital, and she was treated for minor injuries. The vehicle was northbound on Highway 59. The driver lost control, entered the west ditch, and the vehicle rolled, coming to rest on its top. The investigation was done at the scene, and neither speed nor alcohol were contributing factors. Congressman Steve King released the following statement after voting against legislation introduced by House Speaker John Boehner that provides for an increase in the nation's debt limit. And the quote from King was, "I voted for and supported the debt ceiling increase coupled with cut, cap, and balance, which included a smart, visionary, balanced budget amendment to our Constitution that caps spending at 18% of GDP. That was the place to take a stand." He said he voted against the amendment because it weakens our position and makes it harder to realize the discipline necessary to significantly reduce our deficit and ultimately pay down our national debt. And the Iowa Department of Transportation is warning travelers to remain behind the barricades of closed roads even after the floodwaters begin to recede. They urge you not to go move or go around closure devices and enter a road closed to travel. Eventually, the roads once covered with floodwaters from the Missouri River will resurface. The DOT reports, though, that it does not mean that they'll be immediately safe for travel. In some instances, the flood damage will be obvious, in particular where segments of the roadway have been lost. But even greater safety risk is the unknown and unexpected, where damage is located below the pavement surface or around bridges. It is unknown at this time the extent of damage that may be discovered on the roads when officials begin inspections after the water recedes. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements, Floyd A. Campbell, age 89 of Defiance, died Thursday at the Murtaugh Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Floyd A. Campbell will be held today at 11 a.m. in the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. They have the arrangements. Friends may call from 9 to 11 a.m. today at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home prior to the services. Burial will be in the Oak Hill Cemetery in Irwin. Floyd Campbell is survived by his nieces and nephews. Eula Schrader Steffen, age 90, of Clarinda and formerly of Cass County, died Friday at the Clarinda Regional Health Center Hospital. And Eula Schrader Steffen is survived, or services for Eula Schrader Steffen will be held on Monday at 1:30 p.m. in the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. They have the arrangements. Marilyn J. Tibkin, age 80, of Exira, died July 28th at her home in Exira. Funeral services for Marilyn J. Tibkin will be held on Monday, 2 p.m. in the Exira Lutheran Church in Exira. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Ben Dean Dwayne Funk, age 32, of Greenfield, passed away on Thursday at his home. Memorial services for Ben Dean Dwayne Funk will be held on Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has those arrangements. Janet Margaret Hines died on Monday at the Park Rapids, Minnesota. Services for Janet Margaret Hines are currently pending. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Lawrence Peterson, age 81, a resident of Oakland Manor, died Friday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Lawrence Peterson are pending at the Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements this morning here on KJN. News brought to you by Rex Pharmacy in downtown Atlantic. For all of your photography, electronics, cellular, and pharmacy needs, if you've got questions, they've got answers. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.